You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon right after the Holy Mass here on Radio Maria Canada. Well, brothers and sisters, I wonder how many have stuck by me throughout the month of January as we have been talking about angels and the supernatural. And we've gone the full gamut just about in terms of angels and demons. And we're going to get into the guardian angels as well. Now, before we left on the last broadcast, I had finished talking about St. Gabriel. And today I'm going to talk about St. Raphael. Okay, so I wanted to get into that. And before we do, let's do a prayer to St. Michael, the Archangel, and ask for protection for every soul on this earth and for those in purgatory. God bless. May they all rest in peace. Brothers and sisters, let's begin. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Wonderful. So, St. Raphael, my dear brothers and sisters, it actually means God heals or the divine healer. So he appears again in sacred scripture only once in the book of Tobit. However, his activities and words are recorded at length and sent to help Tobit and his son Tobiah. Raphael hid his identity until the end of the story, presenting himself instead as a young Hebrew man. And Raphael guided young Tobiah on a long journey and helped him to grow in courage. He led Tobiah to his future wife, Sarah, and taught him to approach the covenant of marriage with holiness and purity. He helped Tobiah exorcise the demon that had been afflicting Sarah, and then personally pursued the demon and bound it hand and foot. After returning home with Tobiah, Raphael healed Tobit's blindness and at last revealed his identity. In all of these things, Saint Raphael was an instrument of God's healing power, and we need healing, for we are wounded by sin in the midst of life's battles. Raphael, brothers and sisters, can be our intercessor. He is a holy medic that goes boldly onto the battlefield of spiritual warfare. When, like Tobit, we find ourselves overwhelmed by suffering and the evils on earth, we would do very well to remember Raphael's exhortation. This is what he said. Bless God and give him thanks before all the living for the good things he has done for you by blessing and extolling his name in song. Proclaim before all with due honor the deeds of God, and do not be slack in thanking him. Do good, and evil will not overtake you. Prayer with fasting is good. Almsgiving with righteousness is better than wealth with wickedness. It is better to give alms than to store up gold, for almsgiving saves from death and purges all sin. But those who commit sin and do evil are their own worst enemies. Do not fear. Peace be with you. Bless God now and forever. So the archangels, my dear brothers and sisters, that we've been chatting about, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, and all the heavenly hosts are fighting for Holy Mother Church. And at all times, even when the outlook looks pretty grim, throughout history, the holiness of the saints and the fidelity of the angels have brought about the will of God. The church is a perpetually defeated thing that always outlives her conquerors. Okay, today we're going to also go into, I'm not going to go into any more in terms of battles, but I do want to get into guardian angels. And I think that would be quite interesting. How many of you actually believe you have a guardian angel? How many of you believe that? Do you believe, brothers and sisters, that you have a guardian angel? Have you prayed to your guardian angel before? Well, I hope you have. And I hope you believe that, that you believe that there is such thing as guardian angels. So throughout all our discussions that I've had since the beginning of the new year on the teachings of angels, guardian angel spirits have a very important role in our life that we're going to spend a little time discussing. That first of all, that each of us has a guardian angel. And that is actually one of the most consoling truths of our faith. It is a consolation that was spoken by our Lord himself in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, and one that permeates sacred scripture. The church continues to instruct the faithful on this subject. The whole life of the church, this is from the Catechism, and you can find it, to verify my work, on the Catechism, you look for section 334 and section 336. The whole life of the church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of angels. From its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by their watchful care and intercession. Besides each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. So these noble angels, brothers and sisters, have been given to us, have been given to you, for your children, your spouse, your family, everybody, to guide us along this narrow path to heaven. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And that's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. So in order to deepen our love for these good angels and to encourage gratitude towards them, so let's go over some basic teachings. As we've already learned, guardian angels are usually taken from the ninth angelic choir. Remember we talked way back when? The most accurately termed angel. It is believed that guardians are occasionally taken from a higher choir if the soul to which it is assigned has been given a particularly weighty mission from God. For example, some believe that St. Gabriel the Archangel was the Blessed Mother's guardian angel, right? Various saints and theologians have speculated as to when the guardian angel is appointed to protect a soul. Some have said that it happens at the moment of conception, others that it happens at the moment of birth, and others think that it happens at the moment of baptism. There is no official church pronouncement that has been made yet. although the traditional belief held by many theologians is that guardian angels are assigned to every human person, whether baptized or not. Okay? The holy activity of these guardians is centered in one goal, to lead us to heaven. Right? To lead us to heaven. Our guardian angels, my friends, have been chosen for us specifically by God. Isn't that fantastic? So you don't have to doubt your guardian angel and think, well, is he or she really for me? Or, you know, is my guardian angel, you know, wanting to be with me? You know, I may be a handful on this life. I cause a lot of duress to people. Maybe I've been a pain in the you-know-where. You know, maybe I've been such a pill that would there be a guardian angel even for me? Well, guess what? Yes, there is. Yes. Yes, my dear souls, there is. There's a guardian angel for everyone. Okay. So whether we think of them or not, whether we thank them or not, our guardian angels serve us with the utmost fidelity. In other words, my friends, they are there for us, for each one of us. If even when we sin, as I say, grievously, which offends them, just as it offends God, they never leave our presence. Wow. So no matter, but that's not actually, it should be an excuse to keep on sinning, right? It shouldn't be an excuse. So we have to remember that, right? We're not to continue sinning and repeating the same mistakes, right? I know we make mistakes, brothers and sisters, but we need to learn from them as well, right? So they know us better than our closest family and friends, and they truly have our best interests at heart. They always have the long-term view of our soul's welfare and eternal destiny in mind. Even if we live alone or we feel alone, in fact, we are in fact, my friends, never alone. Our angel is always there at our side. So Saint Augustine said, and it's so beautiful, the angels go in and out with us, having their eyes always fixed upon us and upon all that we are doing. If we stop anywhere, they stop also. If we go forth to walk, they bear us company. If we journey into another country, they follow us. Go where we will, by land or by sea, they are ever with us. While we sleep, they keep watch by us. They never tire of being with us all day long and all night long and during every moment of our life. After death, they will visit us in the prison of purgatory. And that was by Saint Augustine. My goodness, we would be astonished if we actually shocked if we understood all that they did for us in a single day. The innumerable services they render us are quite subtle. So how often have we received enlightenment from them regarding both spiritual and temporal matters? Sudden impressions which surprise us when we least expect them. Moments when our hearts feel urged to offer love to God. Reminders about prayers to be said or forgotten duties or kindness that were neglected but which should be performed. A sudden answer seemingly coming from nowhere to a question that perplexes us. A reflection of a friend long forgotten who might be in need of prayer. Guardian angels do so much more, my friends. If they could, in fact, they desire a very deep relationship with us in order that they might guide us more effectively. If we live a deeply sacramental life and maintain fidelity to prayer, we will be able to receive their inspirations and to experience the ways in which they help us. You know, our angels are by our side to help us. Even when we die, our angel does not leave us. He accompanies us on our journey from life on earth to God's judgment seat. And if our souls must be purified in purgatory before entering heaven, our guardian angels will come to visit us there until we are ready to be led into our eternal home with God. So our Father has given our guardian angels a big role in our lives. And yet, how often do we turn to these faithful guides and open our hearts to their wisdom and love? We should recall daily the great friendship that we have with our guardian angels. All right, so how was that? That was kind of quick and painless, wasn't it? Oh, dear. Sometimes I just love the subject of angels, and I'm being very selfish in that I wanted to talk about them. So if you don't mind, I wanted to get into true stories of guardian angels. And I tell you, testimonies and people's testimonies, always just resonate with me big time. I just want to hear all I can get. So we, as I said before, we're not aware of the ways, the innumerable ways in which our guardian angels protect and guide us, right? So while the ordinary activity of life keeps our guardian angels quite hidden, many of us do have unexpected experiences of their protection, right? And I shared one experience like that with you regarding when I had fallen in the garage in a... Anyways, I had mentioned that, so I don't want to go and repeat the story to you. So some apparitions of guardian angels. Angels appeared to Saint Lidwine of Shedam, and all the time, so this is 1380 to 1433, Saint Lidwine, that's L-Y-D, wine, W-I-N-E, of Shedam. S-C-H-I-E-D-A-M. So all the time, those around her could not see them because Saint Lidwine was very sickly and she was often nursed by a kind widow. This widow knew that Lidwine could see angels and expressed her own desire to see one. Being grateful for the loving care by the widow, Lidwine told her to kneel down, saying, "Here is the angel whom you desire to know." The angel appeared in a garment of threads of white fire. The woman was unable to utter a single word to express her happiness. And then Saint Lidwine asked the angel, "My brother, will you authorize my sister to contemplate the splendor of your eyes, if only for a moment?" And when the angel looked at the woman, she was so taken out of herself that for some time she continued to groan and weep for love without being able to sleep or eat. Saint Francis of Rome is another saint who is granted the gift of the constant sight of her angel, and due to the particular mission given her by God, she had been assigned an archangel as guardian. And this is from Father Pascal Parente. Even though this archangel did not reveal to her all the splendor of glory that is his in paradise, the brilliant light of his countenance was such that Frances could not gaze on him without hurting her eyes. She therefore avoided fixing her eyes on the angel himself and looked rather on the glow of light that surrounded him. Occasionally, she was given power to contemplate his features directly, especially in time of prayer, when troubled by the devil, or when she spoke of the angel to her own confessor. On these special occasions, the angel seemed to dim somewhat the light that surrounded him, and this enabled Francis to look at the angel directly in the face. So, in addition to providing Saint Francis with this wonderful insights into the ways of God and the mysteries of his love, the angel helped her to get along with difficult in-laws and demanding neighbors. Her crosses became more bearable day by day as her angel inspired her with practical advice and support. So, excuse me, Saint Gemma Galgani, G-A-L-G-A-N-I, had a spiritual advisor, a priest named Father Germano Ruppolo, whose guardian angel took up the role of mailman on her behalf while living under the charity of the Giani family. Gemma disliked asking them for stamps with which to send letters to her confessor and advisor, Father Germano. One day she asked the priest's angel to take the letter she had written to him. This letter and all the letters that followed were safely delivered by the angel without one being lost. At first, however, he was very skeptical of this means of conveyance. To test that the letters were really delivered by spiritual beings, Father Germano had Gemma give a letter addressed to him to her aunt Cecilia, who locked it in a place unknown to Gemma. Nonetheless, this letter was miraculously delivered to him. Once again, Gemma gave a letter for him to her aunt, who in turn gave it to Don Lorenzo Argimonti, a priest who was living with the Gianni family. He in turn locked it in a chest of drawers in his own room and put the key in his pocket. The next day, the saint sensed that the angel had passed her with letter in his hands. Aunt Cecilia and Don Argimonti went and at once to look for it and found the letter missing. Father Germano then wrote, excuse me, both letters were brought to me by the guardian angel. So, brothers and sisters, it was Padre Pio, in his own true story, he was often overheard that he would talk to his guardian angels, and there would be like a conversation going on back and forth. And when he prayed the rosary at night, Pio was frequently overheard to murmur, "Tell her I will pray for her," or "Tell him that I will knock at the heart of Jesus for this grace," or "Tell her that Our Lady will not refuse her this grace." And those who heard him speak in this way were convinced that he was talking to the guardian angels of his spiritual children. And that is in a book called by C. Bernard Ruffin, Ruffin, in Padre Pio, The True Story. So, brothers and sisters, these stories are vivid reminders for all of us that angelic aid is real. We don't have to be aware of everything. Our guardian angels do that for us, but we can certainly thank them on a daily basis, all right? So, brothers and sisters, I know that our time is getting short, but I wanted to, leave you with, we'll begin and then we'll end it in the final end of the month on the 31st of January. Because, you know, our Father's Quilt comes to you every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30. So we'll wrap up this final broadcast on angels and the supernatural. But to for ending and then overlapping into next time, I wanted to address how to have a proper devotion to your own guardian angel. So when you practice devotion to your guardian angel, you foster a relationship with him that becomes a profound source of grace. We don't pray enough, right? They are touched when we pray to them. God is pleased when we acknowledge and venerate his holy angels. After all, he is the one who has gifted us with their presence and protection, right? It makes sense, doesn't it, brothers and sisters, right? To always remember this for our own selves, that we need to thank our heavenly angels. And, you know, I know when I was going through a very serious illness many years ago, I truly felt the presence of little angels. I love children. I guess, and makes sense that I was a teacher and a very happy teacher in my job in terms of teaching children and working with parents. I loved my parents and I loved my kids. And I did have issues with teachers and administration, I will say that. But as far as the kids and as far as the parents, I just felt like they were part of my family. And I would do anything, even to this day, if one of those students phoned me up and said, "Mrs. Doyle, I need a reference," without even batting an eye, it would be automatic for me. Of course I would. Of course I would. I would help them to the bitter end. I would help them whatever they needed. I loved the kids. I loved teaching. I miss it with all my heart but mind you, I get to see this adorable little grandson of ours that, oh my gosh, I get to read to him. I'm buying him books. Of course, you know, what teacher doesn't buy books, right? Right. So he'll expect the Christmas and Hanukkah presents from me. That'll be books and educational. And he might say, "Oh, Grandma, oh, Baba, why do you have to get me a book all the time? How about a toy?" But that too will be educational or something creative. But his parents are both teachers and musicians. And that boy is going to be eating and breathing music big time. So the basement is like a total orchestra of instruments. You name the instrument, it's down in the basement. It's amazing. So, and she, even as he was a little infant, my daughter would take out the guitar and even play to him, and he would stop crying and he would be looking and listening. It's just so precious. So as I say before, heavenly angels are with us, and if we want to foster this stronger devotion to our guardian angel, we have to take some advice. And who better than to take the advice from Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, right? So in one of his sermons, he presented three obligations that we owe to our guardian angel. And each of these obligations can be practiced amidst the activities and duties of everyday life. First of all, number one, and we expect it from each other, why should we not expect it from our holy angel, is respect for the presence of our holy angel. Number one, respect for the presence of our holy angel. Number two, gratitude for the innumerable services he performs for us. Gratitude. There's nothing wrong with saying, "Thank you, heavenly angels. Thank you, guardian angel, for taking care of me, for helping me through the day. Thank you that I've gotten over a bad cold, or that the surgery went well, or that I've recuperated really quickly, or that you protected me through a minor fender bender," or whatever. Brothers and sisters, we must also include them in our gratitude, in our prayer time. Confidence. That's a good one, isn't it? Confidence. Confidence in his reliable and effective aid. And with that, my dear friends, guess what? Yes, it's time. Time for me to stop and continue this on our final broadcast in January, January 31. Please be with me. I look forward to being with you throughout this entire brand new year, and the gift of hope, the gift of angels, the gift of peace and love. God bless you. See you next time. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. And though you left too soon,
If I had my way, I wouldn't change a single